Good evening, world, and welcome to WFHR's Director's Cut for this January 1st, 2023, Session 8. I just was talking with my partner in art here, Seth Habager, and I can't believe this is our 8th episode already.
That's really remarkable, and I just realized now I'm going to have to start saying 2023, too.
Yes.
That's going to take a while.
Oh, the fun of that. For the first month when we're writing it out, all writing 20, there's always a scrap, right next to the 2, and where you're trying to make a 2 into a 3 or something like that.
It always happens.
Your program director and host, James J. Maloff here. Appreciate the time from everybody. We are going to have some fun in today's show. Mm-hmm. What Seth and I are going to do is go over our 2022 year in entertainment.
All right.
And some future stuff to look forward to in 2023.
Yeah.
And Seth, I think we'll just start right here.
Okay.
With the year of 2022, where there was so much to talk about, but I kind of feel that we have to... I want to go through it like month by month.
Okay.
And certainly that would take way too long. Yeah. But
How long is this show?
I do think we do have to start with January of 2022 because it was Golden Globes time. That tends to be the beginning of the awards season.
That's true.
An important part in entertainment. Mm-hmm. But it became a bit different this year, but because we did not have, it wasn't telecast.
Right.
For once, you didn't have the boozy celebs and the red carpet and all that stuff. But more importantly, the embattled, very heavily, and rightfully so, embattled Hollywood Foreign Press Association, reeling from stunning failures over diversity, they held a private event and planned a comeback in 2023.
Hmm.
That was quite interesting to me to see the fallout from that.
And yes.
For an awards that doesn't, being honest, I've never heard an actor say, God, I love that I got this Golden Globe. You know, you see every once in a while people in interviews hold up an award or they got awards behind them.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Never seen a Golden Globe back there. Never seen that. And none of us is going to turn one down.
No.
But it's not exactly one of the bigger award things. I was kind of happy to see that people actually were paying attention to who votes on these things.
If you know the history of the Golden Globes, you know it is a completely fabricated thing. It was created, what is it called? The Hollywood Foreign Press?
Yes.
That's not a thing.
No.
That was never a thing. No. It was just a way that people who wanted to vote for things to give away an award to do it because they're not allowed to do the other things because those are like, you know, trade groups, you know, like the Oscars who votes for them, you know, all the people that are involved in that. And, you know, or if the Screen Actors Guild Awards, because you obviously have to be a member of the union to do that, or all the other things, if you're the recording industry, everything.
Right.
There was just a bunch of people who decided they wanted to bestow an award on other people.
Right.
And it was started out as a joke.
Yeah.
Basically, I mean, I remember, what was it? Pia Zadora got an award, and everyone's like, what? What are you doing, guys?
That's right.
And it's never really gotten... The actual press has for some reason held this up as something.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why.
Because press is in the title.
Yeah, I guess.
But I honestly think that's it. I really do. I think that it's a chance to self-grandize.
But I think the emperor had no clothes, and that came to the head on last January. So, yeah.
And just, you know, doing a little bit of checking before going on the air here and everything, not a whole lot has been changed with that. They got like two people, added two people of ethnicity, I think, you know. Okay. They're still working on that. It'll be a while before I care about a Golden Globe, I'll tell you that much. One last thing to note about January, we lost one of the pioneers, and just my opinion, the greatest actor I've ever seen. There's Cary Grant for me, who is right there at 1B, and at 1A is the great Sidney Poitier.
Yes.
He passed away in January of this year at the age of 94.
Hmm.
Watch some Sidney Poitier. Get some Poitier in your life, everybody. If you don't know who that is, especially.
He was in so many great movies. I mean, even up to, he was still acting in his, you know, 70s and 80s, and he looked so good.
It's not
that
fair.
Off.
It's just not fair. Yeah. February saw the year of pop culture really come to a head with Britney Spears and her story of what she was going through with the restrictive conservationship.
Ugh.
That was a huge story.
Yeah, no kidding.
Found out Rihanna was pregnant. Mm-hmm. That was interesting. Tom Brady retired. More on that in a little bit. And then March hit, and March was Oscars. Oscar year, Oscar month, I should say.
Yeah.
And Coda was the gigantic winner, a feel-good drama, largely deaf cast. Troy Koster became the first deaf actor to win an acting Oscar.
Nice.
I vote on these, and I vote on the SAG Awards.
Yep.
And I'll be honest, the majority of the time, my people don't win.
Yep.
This was one where I voted for him, never thinking anybody was going to vote for him.
Right.
I did not see that coming. I was so happy to be so dang wrong, because looking at, I know not a lot of people get this information, and it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, right.
We kind of see a lot of this stuff, the results, a lot of us actors do at the end. 96-97% of people voted for him for Best Actor.
Wow.
Couldn't believe it.
You know, two things real quick. These are digressions, but they won't go. They're pretty quick. I have to add one question for you, James, as a voter. Mm-hmm. Do you do that before the end of the year, or do you do it at the beginning of the next year when the awards?
It's usually like I'll be voting in January this year.
In January, okay.
It changes, especially with COVID and everything. It's been flipped around and stuff. And the way they used to do it, like when in 08 when I first started, it was an email and you got these links.
If
it was for best sound, you would get a link that what they thought was the best part of sound
the
in
clip.
That movie.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
The clip, yeah. Yeah. That kind of thing. It's now you go to a website and it's all there for you. Sometimes it's just YouTube that they send you to. Like it's a little bit like is it doesn't feel as professional, but also at the same time feels a little less like we take it the less serious in a good way.
Yeah. The other thing I had is more of a comment, I guess, because, man, and I don't, this is something I've heard from other people who have voted on it. And I don't know if I can't remember if we've talked about this before. Why don't they just show the voting amounts?
I know.
Why don't they just release those? Yeah. I think that would add so much more to the conversation. More people would be interested to see how close some votes are, that kind of thing. Oh, man. I think that would be a big boost to the Oscars. They've been looking for ways to get people more interested in the Oscars again, because it's kind of, you know, gone downhill the last few years.
Oh, yeah.
People are like, you know, whatever. I mean, they like to talk about it afterwards, but, you know, the actual ceremony and all that, people don't really care that much anymore. But I think that would really, if you show like the percentages when the vote is revealed, I think that would be cool. I think people would enjoy that.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I know you're not the only one to think
that.
I haven't heard other people talk about it before, but it's such a great thought. You can't be alone there. And I know that now I'm taking this and running with it. Like I'm going to mention this to anybody that'll listen.
I got the idea from the screenwriter, William Goldman. Because that for years, that was his thing. He wanted to release the votes because he thought it would make it more interesting.
What's the harm?
I know, really.
What would the downside be?
Who are they protecting, right?
You know, if you're protecting actors' egos, you know, that's impossible. That is literally impossible to do.
It's whatever whatever moment it is. After their next, you know, their ego is connected to whatever their next project is, basically.
And, of course, the situation with Will Smith, Chris Rock, and Jada Pinkett Smith happened during the Oscars. Will, who won Best Actor Award, who had long sought this award. Some actors don't care much about these things.
Yeah.
Some actors, it's a sign of not that I made it, that I did it. I did this. I did this to the extent I always wanted to. I don't care about awards, but I would think if I've ever won one, that would be it for me. It would be an accumulation of, okay, I showed what I was wanting to do here. I showed that I belong, that I belong. That's a big deal to me. I think it is to a lot of actors. And I know hearing Will Smith talk about it in interviews, one of the things that I used to look up to him about was that, where he came from, where he started, and where he got to. That's what this moment was supposed to be. It was supposed to be an accumulation of wasn't so much about the movie that he won for.
No.
He did a great job in it, but it really was a candy movie. It really, the Williams sisters and their dad deserved, I think, a more true-to-life storytelling of it. That being said, still a good movie, and his performance was fantastic, but I don't think it was a little bit like when Denzel won for Training Day.
Yeah.
A little bit like, hey, we should have given it to you a long time ago. Here it is now. Please don't be mad at us.
Yeah.
Well, apparently Will was mad that day because he went mad because he walked up to, in a slow strut, to Chris Rock, who a friend of his, and open hand slapped him. We talked about this ad nauseum, so we're not going to talk about it too much. Right. But in the moment, watching it live, I honestly thought it was a bit at first. And then I saw Chris's reaction and thought about it a half a second. And you can't convince me there's any person, let alone a man, who is going to allow that to happen and just play it off like it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That was not a bit. That was not staged.
No.
And we're finding that out as, you know, both actors, both people have kind of like seen dips and rises to their careers. Will Smith has lost a lot of jobs. Almost every job he had lined up, gone.
That's really remarkable. Yeah.
And really in an industry where contracts matter. But they got in every one of those contracts a clause.
Yep.
A social clause, and that came up in that moment.
And that's where they're able to do that, yes.
One last note on this. America loves a comeback story. Love a comeback story. How many people have we seen come back from far worse than this?
Yeah, Will Smith will be back. I have no question in my mind.
I'm just curious to see when and how.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
April brought about the Grammys, and John Batiste was the big winner, taking home 5 statues.
Nice.
The music's biggest night. That was a pretty cool thing to see, especially for him. I'm a big fan of his and always enjoyed his work.
I'm glad he's now focusing solely on his music. He's not doing the sideshow thing. I'm sorry. I have to bring this up. And this is why this show could have gone by many names. Digressions could be one of them.
Yes.
But I had the misfortune of watching a late show with Stephen Colbert recently. Mm. It sucked.
Oh, yeah?
It wasn't good at all.
Oh.
I was very disappointed. I haven't seen it in a long time.
But without John Batiste, you didn't think it was as good.
Well, no, not even that. Just the show itself. This is why it's a digression.
Yeah.
It wasn't good.
Huh.
It wasn't funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is another topic we could have. What happened to late night TV?
Yes, yes. that is an episode coming up.
That will eventually come up.
Now there, that I'm with you. I'm a big Colbert guy, but being honest, it's been years since I watched.
Yeah, exactly.
So I wouldn't. I'll take your word.
I like him. I like him a lot. Yeah. But what the material and stuff? Not good. Yeah.
Interesting to see where not just his show, the Tonight Show, all that stuff goes, but what happens to late night TV in 2023, 2024. Going ahead.
If the ratings start to dip, I think we're going to be seeing something else.
Oh, yeah.
Reruns.
In May, you had the Met Gala, which is always big. Yeah. Seth and I, again, were not invited.
Man, come on, people.
I'm really getting disappointed by this. You know, it's starting to get personal to me. In movies, Top Gun Maverick opened to the highest grossing domestic debut in Tom Cruise's career.
That's saying something.
Really is.
That's something.
Not a lot of actors I would say that about, but one of the highest grossing actors of all time, that stands out.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. No interest in seeing the movie, but I got to give him cred, man. He's been plugging away for so long, and he's got the results to show for it.
People still go to see his movies in droves, and it was proven maybe never more than this moment because it's not just that the movie was a success. It's that he bet on himself, bet on the movie, and was right.
He was right.
That rarely happens in society, let alone in entertainment.
Yep.
He wanted this movie. The studios were beating him over the head. Release it straight to video. It's a pandemic. People want to see a movie. Tom says he did this because he wanted the audience to be able to see the movie for the first time in theaters. That's how they directed it, wrote it, and everything.
Right.
I don't begrudge him that. I'm not going to act like I know what's in his heart or head.
Yeah.
But he's shown us quite a bit over the years, so I have a hard time believing that that was the only thought. I also believe that ego played a big part of this.
Oh, I'm sure.
And Tom Cruise does not release straight-to-video movies. Tom will not allow his ego to have that. So I think that played just as big of a part as caring about the audience.
Yep. I think another topic that might be coming in our future is Tom Cruise, the last big movie star.
Yep.
The last big one that in that whole, you know, oeuvre that we grew up with and everything like that has the game changed enough now where we're never going to see another person like that.
We're not making new action stars.
Nope.
Every one of the big action stars names, if I'm a producer and I know I'm going to bring some people to the movie theater with, they're over 50.
Yeah.
Like every one of them.
Yeah. even The Rock.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It's
It's a great question. I'm really wondering where that goes forward.
It'll be interesting to see.
That'll be episode 50.
we'll get to that eventually.
In August, the passing of the Queen, Queen Elizabeth, certainly was noteworthy.
Big news,
a big one. She passed away at the age of 96, the beloved monarch, after 70 years on the throne.
Jeez.
Very impressive. While that is not necessarily an entertainment story, I did think it was noteworthy, and plenty of entertainers were about when it comes to that. You have so many TV shows about them.
Oh, of course. It's big news for the entertainment industry. For something like that.
A lot of politics came up in September, and a lot of different storylines regarding the bleeding between entertainment and politics.
Right.
Happened a lot in September. And certainly in March, you had a number of different things happen that really had nothing to do with entertainment. The Harvey Weinstein trial opened in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Adidas dropped Kanye, and all that Kanye stuff came up and everything that I'm not going to waste our audience's time on. So all that going on.
Yeah.
November, was it just a month ago? Because it sure feels like a lot longer than that. Ticketmaster canceled the general sale of a Taylor Swift tour, the Eras tour. And they've done this kind of thing before. And I think as long as we've been alive, or as long as we've been able to go to concerts, Ticketmaster has been a begrudging thing. You've never heard anybody say, boy, I love Ticketmaster. Like, you've never even heard somebody that works at Ticketmaster or owns stock in Ticketmaster say that.
No.
It took this Taylor Swift thing for this to really take a hit ahead. I think it wasn't just that. I think it was an accumulation of years and decades of this.
It is.
But it really, like, you don't mess with the Swift fans. Even I don't take shots at Taylor Swift.
Wow.
Like, which I have no problem with that young lady. I wish her the greatest.
Just to make sure you cover all your bases.
In all seriousness, although I am not a fan of her music because I just don't know it.
Yep.
Her as a person, I'm becoming more and more of a, like, this kid's got something, man.
Yeah.
Like, her going back and re-recording her stuff, I can't say that enough how much of a game changer that is for artists, but also what a detriment that could be to her career. It could have been. But it could have been. Like, she could be releasing new music, making new money here, doing a lot of these things. Now what she's doing with the Ticketmaster thing is really bringing that to a fan base that probably didn't care or know that much about the subject matter.
No.
Now there are actual, like, legal investigations going on. It looks like Ticketmaster is going to be held accountable for a lot of these things. That's huge.
Yeah, my hope is that it will be going to antitrust. Because it is a monopoly. There's no question about that. Ticketmaster is a monopoly, and it needs to be broken up. And because it just showed the kind of stuff it can pull when you have when you corner the market on something like that, and look at the fees. And, you know, it's fascinating that it ended up being, I guess it had to have been someone big, as big as Taylor Swift, to do it, to get her fan base riled up because of the millions of fans that she has. But man, I'm just glad that we're getting there. It's starting to happen because we need to do something about it.
In November, saw Black Panther: Wakanda Forever meeting the double challenge of following up one of the biggest blockbusters in history while losing its biggest star of the movie.
Amazing.
Boy, I hope it did okay. Oh, yeah. It's still making money. it's incredible. Like, it's got like a $500 billion like gross so far across the world. And as Seth and I are talking, it's gaining money
right now. Thousands of dollars as we speak.
I love how they keep telling me Marvel's done. You know, they started this year with that. Is this the end of the Marvel franchise? Is it everything? I don't seem to be happening anytime soon.
No. The answer to that is no.
And not a lot to touch on here with December. James Cameron's Avatar sequel finally came out after 13 years, doing great in the box office.
Doing great money right now.
Having a harder time with second, third week stuff, but still doing very well.
Yep.
And Will Smith was back with Emancipation. Now, that he had already filmed before the Chris Rock situation.
Right.
So interesting to see how that has done not very well, but it's also hard to tell because it went straight to streaming.
So it's a little hard. That's a tougher way to measure those things, right?
But there's a lot to look forward forward to in 2023. We're going to get to some of that when we come back.
That's right. So we'll take a quick break here on Director's Cut and be back in just a moment.
Welcome back, everybody, to Director's Cut. Thank you so much for joining us and all you fans of art and entertainment out there. Seth Habhagger, James J. here with you, and we're going to talk about what to look forward to in 2023. Fans of Star Wars shows, video game adaptations, and Rice horror movies, all kinds of stuff. This is your year. It is a lot, got a lot going on.
Right.
Every streaming platform, every major cable network channel has something for you.
Yes.
Looking at January, January 2nd, we'll see the start of America's Got Talent All-Stars on NBC.
Okay.
That competition. Fantasy Island Season 2 on Fox. I did not know that they that the first season had already wrapped up, to be honest with you.
Okay.
That's interesting. NCIS, both their Season 20, the original, NCIS Hawaii and Los Angeles all have their winter premieres on January 2nd.
20 years?
Season 20. Yes, Season 20.
Wow, that's been on for that long.
I didn't realize that.
Holy cow.
That's impressive.
Wow.
Also, the winter premiere of Quantum Leap will be on Monday, January 2nd. January 3rd, you've got The Resident, The Rookie, FBI coming back.
Okay.
New Amsterdam, some of those shows. And then in January 4th, you will have Madoff, The Monster of Wall Street, a documentary on Netflix I'm very curious about.
That'd be interesting, yeah.
The Price is Right comes back, along with Chicago Med, Chicago Fire, Abbott Elementary. Just such a fun, great show. All those coming back the first week of January.
All right. Wow, man.
You got a lot of your cooking shows, Hell's Kitchen, a lot of that stuff, a lot of the Celebrity Jeopardy, Young Sheldon, Law and Order, all of that coming back the first week as well, that Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Very and cool. Let's see here, Shark Tank coming back that Friday, January 6th.
I hate that show. Anyway.
January 7th, that Saturday, Reba McEntire's The Hammer. It's a TV movie on Lifetime.
Oh, The Hammer?
Yeah, that should be interesting.
That's interesting sounding.
Sunday, January 8th, Anne Rice's Mayfair Witches will be on AMC. That is going to be interesting because Anne Rice, of course, passed away forever. She really hung on to her work.
She did.
And didn't really was very selective about stuff.
She was.
She famously did not want Tom Cruise as Lestat.
Yep.
And then would kind of take that back a little bit where she thought he did a good job. I always would have loved to have had her just one-on-one to ask her how she
would have
really,
been an interesting, yeah.
Yeah, because she liked Brad Pitt as Louis, but as Lestat, wasn't very keen on Tom Cruise.
Yep.
And at the time, that was very controversial.
I remember that, yeah.
But now her works are kind of owned by her children, I believe, and they have kind of sold a lot of that stuff to AMC. They had the Interview with the Vampire series that was very successful.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And now The Mayfair, which is another great series of hers, is going to be coming to AMC. It'll start this Sunday, January 8th.
All right.
And then you have Bob's Burgers come back for season 13. Yes. And
wow, that's been on for 13 years?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Wow.
And Family Guy comes back also.
Okay.
Let's see here. That following week, the Connors will be back. The Goldbergs, got those coming back. Also that week, you will have Walker, Married to Real Estate, and those shows. Let's see here. On streaming services on Friday, January 13th, Servant Season 4 starts. A lot of people happy about that.
Okay.
Great show, Hunters, on Amazon. It's it stars Al Pacino, and it's all about like these Jewish people. Not only Jewish people, but a bunch of Jewish people basically hunting down Nazis after World War
II.
Right. It's a bit of a comic book kind of telling of this.
Oh, so okay.
It weaves in facts within also reality.
Historical fiction, in other words. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's very well done. It's a hard one for me to watch, but I love it.
I can understand that.
And it's the closest I've gotten outside of maybe Magneto to seeing Jewish superheroes. Like, this is what it takes, basically. The World's Funniest Animals Season 3 comes up Saturday, January 14th. Something to keep in mind. A big one a lot of people are looking forward to, and I was telling you about this, video games turning into TV shows and movies.
Yeah, right.
You're going to be at a lot of that in 2023.
Okay.
The Last of Us hits HBO on Sunday, February 15th, based on the very successful video game.
You know, that's going to be an interesting one because The Last of Us is what... In the industry, they call it an adventure game, the video game industry, where you know it tells a story while you're going through and you have to do certain things, but it is telling a story. I'm interested to see how well that one's going to do because you've already got a preset story. It's not like other video games where other video game movies where there's no story there. You just go ahead and and you know, put whatever you want them there.
Right,
you know,
right.
You know, they. I guess one of the most infamous examples is the first Super Mario Brothers movie.
Yes,
with John Leguizamo and Bob Hoskins.
Maybe the greatest example.
Yeah, exactly. That hey, fell just, really flat.
If
yeah.
we just throw this at the wall, it'll make
yeah,
money.
Yeah, exactly.
And
nope,
not as much.
Didn't work.
Part of the reason this is looking, they got so many eyeballs to it, and I have a hard time believing this will not be successful, is not just the success of the video game, mm-hmm. but the cast. You got Pedro Pascal in the lead.
Oof.
I could stop right there.
Yeah, exactly.
I could stop right there. But a great young actress, Bella Ramsey, who I think will be a household name before her career is said and done. Mm-hmm. She stars as the co-lead in this. Mm-hmm. She's really good. You got Nick Offerman playing a very different role than normal
for
him.
Oh, wow, cool.
Love me some Nick Offerman.
Yeah, he's great.
It's a really solid cast.
Nice.
So I think that's part of the... And Melanie Linsky, who is another great character actor, who is also in this. Got some really good people in it. You got an HBO budget. Hard to believe that it won't be it won't do fairly well at the very least. Let's see here. Also coming up that week, Bob Hart's Abolitia season 4 that'll kick off that week, the week of January 16th.
Okay,
911 Lone Star comes back, and on Tuesday, January 17th, the 2-episode premiere on NBC at 7 o'clock of the revision of Night Court.
I know someone who will be watching.
Yeah, one of my all-time favorite shows, the original.
Yep.
Harry's daughter takes over for him.
Nice.
And it's being played by the young lady from The Big Bang Theory, the blonde girl with the glasses.
Melissa Rock.
Thank you.
Or Roush.
You.
Or
Roush, yeah,
Roush.
However you pronounce,
however you pronounce her last name. Yeah.
I didn't watch Big Bang Theory that much, but I saw her on there, and I really liked her on it.
She was good. She was good. Very different role she'll be taking on in this one. It's really cool.
You got John Larroquette coming back.
Yep.
A couple of other original members. Of course, we've lost so many of the original cast.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm a bit of a hypocrite on this one because I'm not usually a big fan of revisions or remakes or anything. Because this show meant so much to me as a kid, I'm very curious to see how it is, and I'm definitely going to watch. I don't know if I'll continue to watch, but I'll definitely watch this
episode. Give it a try,
Absolutely, yeah. I think it earns it.
Yeah.
That 90s show will be on Netflix, the kind of another revision thing.
Sorry, did you hear me roll my eyes?
Yes,
rolled my eyes.
Right. I will say the one thing I do like about this, that they brought back, I think, the right people.
Yeah.
The dad, mom, Kitty and Red.
Yeah.
And if I get to hear Kitty's laugh again, I'm all right. I'm okay with it.
And a very underrated. Kirkwood Smith is such a great actor. If you've ever seen him in any of other things, you know how good of an actor he is.
Yes.
I know he was very much typecast as Red about being rah, 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 you know, that kind of thing. That would be the only reason I would watch it, just because of him. But other than that, I'm not really interested.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree with every word of that, and then some. And also Kitty's laugh. I love her. I love her as an actress, and I love that laugh of hers. Coming up that Friday, January 20th, you will have Whose Line Is It Anyway? Season 19 on CW. Congrats to them.
Yeah, keeping it going.
Real Time with Bill Maher, season 21 on HBO. And also, and after that, you will have Game Theory with Bomani Jones, season 2. Let's see here. Accused, the big show coming up on Fox, January 22nd.
All right.
And then kind of TV show-wise, it comes and goes as far as shows that you're looking forward to, your favorite shows coming back. The majority of them will be in January. If you haven't heard us mention one, chances are it'll be at the end of January, if not sooner.
Right.
Be sure to Google it, look it up, whatever search engine you like to use. Some stuff just kind of jumping ahead here a little bit, Seth. Friday, because I want to shoot to February now. A lot of big stuff coming up in February. You have got a show, Marvel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. On Disney Channel at 7. A comic book animation. But that's one that I don't think a lot of people know about. But there's a lot of talk about it.
Which is good because it became kind of a cult comic book when it first came out. Devil Dinosaur is probably the most fascinating Marvel character out there. Created by the great Jack Kirby.
Yeah.
On a left field kind of thing, but they've kind of found ways to use it. Originally in the comic, it was Moon Boy, but when they brought it back, it was Moon Girl. And it's a very offbeat comic. I hope the show is as offbeat as the comic was, because it was really fun to read. It's a very interesting comic.
I don't know. You answer this with me.
Okay.
From my opinion, so far so good with Disney and Marvel.
Yep. Yeah.
So far so good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say any real misses, but you know, there's been some stuff that they've put out that haven't been the greatest.
Yeah.
But some of the stuff they have put out has been really like. again, going back to conversations we've had before, you and I, comic book kids,
yep,
we waited our whole lives for this, and we ain't alone.
No,
there's a lot of people out there like
it. There, yeah.
So I'm not to the point yet where I'm burnt out. I could say that.
Not me. And I don't think I'll be the last one standing.
You and me
I'm
both,
never gonna get burned out.
Honestly, I think you and me both, because it's hard for me to imagine.
Mm-hmm.
It's only because, like, if you told me they're just going to keep doing Batman and Superman and the big hits, like, okay, that would get boring.
Yep.
There's so many characters.
Thousands.
There's thousands
of characters.
We just got done celebrating the 100th year of Stan Lee, and he would have been 100 the other day.
Yep.
And I just thought, for the heck of it, you know, I'd look and I'd see, well, I know the big ones that he created. Mm-hmm. What about some of these other ones? And there were some that were, I didn't even realize he created, that are huge characters that has not even shown up in any Marvel TV show or movie
yet. Not yet.
They really haven't scratched the surface on some of this stuff.
Which is remarkable to say, but it's true.
Thursday, February 16th, the long-awaited season 3 premiere of Star Trek: Picard. So happy for the fans of that show.
Yeah.
And
I never even saw the second season. I feel bad.
Patrick Stewart has been enjoying this wonderful renaissance to his career with commercials and with this show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all he wants to do. He's done a little Broadway here and there, a little bit of theater. I should say Broadway, not theater, not Broadway. Yep. But otherwise, just enjoying kind of like his life
now. Laying back, just doing his thing, what he wants to do, you know. Couldn't happen to a neater guy.
Yeah.
He really is an interesting person.
One of the guys I look up to, because he got his break later in life.
He did, yeah.
And when that happens, oftentimes, you're, even at this point in your life, you're still trying to get as much work in as you can. He's kind of like, my legacy's set. I'm pretty good.
Just think about the career that he and his best friend, Sir Ian McKellen, have had. If you ever see them together on like social media posts, God, they're funny. Oh, man.
Some of my favorite stuff.
Yeah.
America's Funniest Home Video, season 33, comes back on February 19th, Sunday, February 19th.
Who knew?
Yeah. American Idol, season 21, on ABC at 7 on February 19th.
Okay, yeah.
Grey's Anatomy, season 19, on ABC on February 23rd.
This never used to happen.
No.
This never used to happen. Shows going this long.
Crazy.
I remember the Flintstones. It was considered, you know, wow, they're on for 8 seasons. You know, and wow, that was a long time.
How remarkable some of that was. How remarkable it is that some of these shows can last that long. Because in today's day and age, you don't get the shot anymore.
Mm-mm.
If your first couple episodes don't bring in the ratings,
you're done.
You're done. Yep. Gone. Like, so I do find that very interesting on a number of levels.
Yeah, yeah. We already did our show. Check out, by the way, our podcast. Go to civicmedia.us if you want to check out the show James and I discuss. Mm-hmm. How long is too long for TV shows? That was a fun discussion.
So
you can listen
one.
To that. Go check that out.
On February 24th, very similar to Night Court Revision for me, Party Down season 13, it's a revival on Stars. Party Down was a TV show not a lot of people saw.
Mm-hmm.
It was on Stars, not a lot of a chance to see it. But I got pulled in because it's all about struggling actors and trying to make their break. And they basically, a bunch of actors that work at a catering business their lives. And it starred Seth, Adam Scott, Ken Marino, Leslie Kaplan, Martin Starr, Jane Lynch, Megan Mullally, Kevin Hart was in it, J.K. Simmons was in it, Jennifer Coolidge, Ken Jeong, Michael Hitchcock, Kristen Bell. Huge. And these are all people who really before their huge, huge break.
Yes.
I think Jane Lynch was starting to get a big name because of
Glee.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But other than that, none of these guys, this was their chance to show what they were worth, mm-hmm. especially Adam Scott, who killed it on this show to the point where he would show up on Parks and Recs. And now he's almost a household name, if not a household name.
He's in movies now and everything. Yep.
Also, Ken Jeong getting a lot of a big break mm-hmm. here as well. I'm excited to see what this will be like.
Wow.
I'm not expecting much.
Yeah.
It's just going to be happy to see these characters back. And I think a lot of fans of the show will just be happy to see that.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
My dad is very happy that The Blacklist will be back for season 10.
I didn't even know that was still on.
I didn't either, to be honest with you. I'm finding out in real time with you all. My dad loves that show.
Really?
Loves it.
Okay, well, hey.
He's a big fan of that. So
if James Spader is still on it, you know, he's the guy. He's a good actor.
I watched the first season of this. I'm curious to see how it'll be. Perry Mason, season 2, March 6th.
I didn't even know they brought back Perry Mason.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. and his production company did this.
Oh.
The first season was pretty good.
Who's playing Perry Mason?
Young actor. Just can't think of his name now, but a name that I think you would recognize if you heard it.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I just have trouble not doing Raymond Burr.
It's
tough. With Perry Mason, because that's all I think about is Raymond Burr.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
the new cast in that role, you had, I want to say, Shay Winningham, I think his name is.
Okay.
Trying to pull it up really quick.
Yeah, right.
For myself.
So I ask the tough questions.
Yes,
man.
You do. Yes, you do. And rightfully so. And this is my wheelhouse. I should know this. Matthew Reyes. That's it. Matthew Reyes.
Okay.
Playing him. And good character actor. I think you'd know him if you saw him, kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. He does look familiar. I've seen him.
He has been in a couple of bigger projects, too. Mm-hmm. I just, he was in The Owl House. He was in SEAL Team, The Violin, BoJack Horseman, Infinity Train, been in a number of things. Oh, okay. The Americans. That's what he's probably most famous for. The Americans.
All right.
That's it. I couldn't think of it.
Hasn't been in BoJack Horseman, by the way?
Right.
I think everyone has. Anyway, go ahead.
True. It's true. Gotham Knights on the CW will premiere right after the third season of Superman and Lois on CW.
All right.
As CW works to really rebuild their network. After losing Supernatural, which still hurts to talk about, they really hit a low. And they have canceled everything. Like, everything's gone off of that network.
So they are literally rebuilding right now.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Also coming up in 2023, a lot of people are excited about Agatha, Coven of Chaos.
That Marvel one, yep.
That should be really good. Yep. You got another season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, season 12 coming out. Echo, another Marvel show. Mm-hmm. Ironheart, another Marvel show. Loki season 2 coming out.
Ironheart, who was introduced in the Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, mm-hmm. and another great new character that will finally get her due. It's very cool.
Ahsoka, the Star Wars show with Rosario Dawson.
Ahsoka, thank you.
Mm-hmm. That looks really good.
Yes.
Very excited about that. And I would be more excited if it wasn't for The Mandalorian season 3 coming out.
We're ready. We're all ready, everybody.
I mean, I'm ready any day now.
Any day
I'm
now.
Waiting. I'm waiting. One of the greatest TV shows I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Hands down. Honestly, I was waiting for season 2 to be a letdown, and it wasn't.
No.
I was blown away by the second season, especially, I get goosebumps thinking about that last episode, man.
That was a good one.
We just kind of started with this stuff that we've been looking forward to our whole lives,
right?
Since we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
Since I was a kid, I have loved Westerns and I have loved Star Wars. And for me, it is the perfect marriage of both of those.
It's about, yes. It's surprising. It took them a while to get to there because we've seen it before. Firefly was kind of a Western in space kind
big
of
fan,
thing.
Big fan.
But this one, they finally jumped in with both feet and it works so well. And then you get guys who are like associated with Westerns. Timothy Oliphant. Or Olympian, or however you pronounce his last name.
Yeah, I know.
Who is like grizzled.
Yes.
I don't know how a guy that skinny can be grizzled.
It's not
but
fair.
He is very grizzled.
Yes.
He's taken over for Ian McShane. But I mean, he does a great job with it. I mean, just everything about it was just, it's a great show.
I love that he's handing Ian McShane hand the 10-gallon hat to him. What a great line that was. Great line by you. That was good. That's so true. The Handmaid's Tale season 6 will be coming out in 2023, along with Love, Death, and Robots, a fun show. The Marvelous Miss Maisel will be back for season 6.
My wife will be happy on that one.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
I only saw the first season, but really liked it. The A Million Little Things season 5, Reservation Dogs will be back for season 3, along with Secret Invasion, another big Marvel show.
Marvel thing, Nick Fury.
The Umbrella Academy will be back for a fourth season. That is a big one. And X-Men 97, huge for a lot of us.
Oh, my gosh. If you grew up with the X-Men animated show, still one of the best cartoons I think anyone ever came up with. And I remember when that was canceled, the outcry from fans was something.
Still hurts.
Now, but they get to update it now. Oh, that's going to be fun.
I did have one thing that I wanted to wrap up on to look forward to. Should we go to break or just wrap it up here?
Let's keep it going?
Okay. In July, July 21st of 2023, there's a movie coming out called Oppenheimer.
I saw the trailer.
Oh, did you?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Woo!
First of all, that's an amazing trailer.
Yeah.
It really gets you going. But again, I forget the actor's name who's playing
Cillian Murphy.
Spitting image of the actual Robert Oppenheimer. It's really crazy.
It's something.
I mean, you're right. I had no idea it was coming out. You told me about it. I see the trailer. I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah. I am in. I know Christopher Nolan. I mean, good pedigree too, you know, as long as he doesn't get too Christopher Nolan-y. Doesn't indulge too much.
Which with this one, it's based on the biography about Oppenheimer.
Yes.
So it almost kind of feels like it keeps him in line a little bit. But this is, and you've read the book.
I have actually read the book.
I have not read the book. I'm going to try to read it before.
It's a great story. I mean, it is the story of his entire life, which I'm guessing they have to pick and choose what they show. But some of the stuff he faced, some of the stuff, you know, not only making, being the head of the Manhattan Project, which, you know, the bomb, the aftermath of where his doubts started to come in and where he started to rethink about what his role was. Amazing. It's just a very fascinating story.
And when we talk about history, there's certain stories that don't get told very much and certain stories that we had to wait to tell. Because of obvious security reasons and so many other things.
Yep.
I don't know how much of one leads into the other with this story, but here we are. We're finally getting the true story of Oppenheimer and the process of this, because this is no holds barred. This is real. This is going to give you the genuine story of how this went down.
I really hope so.
In theory, that's what it is at least. And especially from what we could see from the trailer.
Yes.
Seth and I encourage you to check out. Written and directed by the great Christopher Nolan, starring Cillian Murphy as J. Robert Oppenheimer and his role in the Manhattan Project in World War II. This is based on the American Prometheus, a biography written by Kai Bird and Martin J. Sherman. It stars not only Cillian Murphy, great actor, Emily Blunt, Robert Downey Jr., Matt Damon, Rami Malek, Florence Pugh, Benny Salidifi, Josh Hartnett, Kenneth Branagh is in this.
Jeez.
And that's just some of the names we got there. I mean,
this is one of those. First of all, it's the great story, but it's an ensemble piece.
Yeah.
And I'm a sucker for Hollywood ensemble pieces, man.
I've seen everyone and see Will Everyone ever since. Yeah. I blame my papa making me sit down and watch The Rat Pack or Ocean's 11 with
Ocean's
him.
Ocean's 11.
It did it to me.
There are any number of Catch 22 is one that always pops into my head, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, great reference. We spend a lot of time, and really, entertainment shows like this in society spend a lot of time on the superheroes and the Star Wars stuff and everything. It feels good to be so excited about a movie that, as much as I love those things and will watch them ad nauseum for the rest of my life, I miss kind of getting excited about just a movie.
Just a regular movie. And I shouldn't say just a regular movie, but it's a movie, you know, it's historical, you know, it's a historically based movie, which again, for me, is always something that piques my interest a little bit more. If it's an actual story, I know it's going to, you know, dramatic stuff is going to you have to do a little changes here and there.
Artistic interpretation.
I get that. That's fine. Because like you said, if you want to know the full story, read the book and then you'll get the full story. But if nothing else, it's giving people a taste of you know, what actually happened at this time. And I'm with you, man. I'm looking very much forward to this one.
It should be exciting. Cannot wait for it to come out. I actually think that, something I wanted us to do for this show was you and I to go to the movies. We've never done anything like that.
Oh, my gosh.
I think we have
fun?
Our movie.
I think we got it. Yes. I come back and review it for everybody.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
So we're going to wrap up this section here for now. We have one more section to take care of. So stay tuned, everyone. We'll be right back here on Director's Cut.
Welcome back to Director's Cut. As we're wrapping up the show here, take it right to the top of the hour. Seth and James, and we touched on a lot of TV shows coming out in the next couple of months in 2023. Wanted to touch on a handful of movies that are, and they're all Marvel movies. No, there's also DC in there.
Yeah, of course, yes.
But the second Aquaman movie is going to be coming out in 2023. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about that only because what are they going to do with the storyline? Mm. They've kind of let go of everybody, and they're trying to reset DC.
Yeah, which is pretty remarkable.
Hard to do that when you've got movies in production and movies coming out and everything.
I think the investment is too much, and they have to release it at this point. But it'll be interesting to see if they just drop it afterwards or if they actually take something from there and continue with it. It'll be interesting to see.
I can't think of his name right now, unfortunately, and I apologize, but the director of the Ant-Man movies was only going to do a third one if it was big. Like the Ant-Man 2 movie, both of them kind of gotten a little bit like, eh, these are fun little movies, but they're, they haven't really played as the role that a lot.
Peyton Reed, by the way. Peyton Reed is the director.
Peyton Reed, great director. Just came Peyton to me. Great director.
Yep.
Love that brain of yours, man. Ant-Man in the Quantumania is going to be coming out. This is humongous for the Marvel fans.
I think this is going to be like a pseudo Avengers movie because that's how big it is going to be for the future as they set up phase five.
Yes.
Is that what's next? I can't. I've lost track.
Yeah, that's saying something that you've lost track.
Because phase five is coming up here. So, and they're going to introduce the big, I mean, he's already been introduced sort of.
Yeah.
Kang the Conqueror. But we're going to see him a lot more, get to see more Jonathan Majors.
Oh,
see him acting, which is always a treat. So.
I watch Jonathan Majors all day. Yeah. I love his acting. He's so good. Along with Jonathan Majors, you got Paul Rudd and Evangeline Lilly back. Hope Van Dyne is along with is going to be in this as well. I think she's the one playing his daughter.
Yes.
You got Michael Douglas back, Michelle Pfeiffer. That's always great.
Yeah.
I love their interactions. Those two are really good together.
You know, I think this is the first time they've worked together too in Ant-Man 2, and it's like, wow, why did it take you guys so long? You're great together.
Great 80s actors. Yeah. You would have thought with all the 80s movies they would have been somehow, but they are really good together. That is a big one coming out. Very curious to see how that goes. That will be coming out, I believe, let me double check here. February 17th. That is when that is.
Wow, that's coming
released.
Up, man.
Whew. Yeah, right around the corner. Fast and the Furious 15,000. No, I'm sorry, 10. 10. Fast and the Furious 10.
Where can they go?
I don't know. Where can they go? They literally have gone to space. Now, I'll be honest with the audience. I watch those movies.
Yeah.
I like a good car chase. Mm-hmm. I love chase scenes. Yep. So I'm a sucker for those movies. I don't watch them for the script. I don't watch them for any of that.
Acting necessarily
Who
cares?
Not
who
even
cares?
Close. Yeah. I'm more interested in the cars acting than I am in Vin Diesel's. But I like Vin Diesel. I like the movies. And they're just, if you go into them just for fun, and I don't do that with a lot of movies. This is one of the few times where I watch a movie and I'm not overanalyzing every single scene.
Yeah.
I'm still crazy. I still overanalyze a lot. Of stuff, but you've got Kraven the Hunter coming out. That's a big one. A lot of people looking forward to the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Of course,
the wrap up of that series, and really the wrap up of James Gunn with Marvel. Because if everything goes right for them, I'm not going to be doing anything with Marvel anytime soon.
No. If he stays as the head of DC, and we'll see what he does. I'm curious to see what he does there. Just to backtrack really quick, Kraven the Hunter, Sony.
Yeah.
You know, I really want him to do this right. Mm-hmm. If anyone knows comic books really well, there was a very famous in the 80s, a sequence called Kraven's Last Hunt.
Yeah,
it was one of the coolest things that they ever did in Spider-Man comic books. JMD DeMatteis was the writer. Mm. I got to give him credit because he did an amazing job. Mm. It's one of the coolest Spider-Man stories ever. And Sony, if they do it, they're going to probably ruin it, which really bums me out. But if they had to do it, because that's... It's an iconic Spider-Man story. It's one of the best. And if that's what they do, come on, man.
Yeah, here's really hoping that they, for once, Sony gets it right. Because to our defense, what have they done right? They haven't really gotten any of this
right. Unless it's associated with Marvel?
Yeah.
Not much.
No.
Not much at all.
If I was Sony, I would not give it to them. I want my copyright. I want my, money and everything. But let them do it. Work out a percentile or something like that and figure it out, because these movies are just bad. It's bad when you're listening to social media and they're telling you they're joking and you're not getting the joke. And so you re-release Morbius and when's the last time a movie bombed twice?
That's an impressive feat.
That is impressive.
Give it credit.
The next John Wick movie coming out as well. Looking forward to that. The Marvels. Very excited about that one. You had me at Brie Larson.
Brie Larson. You've got Kamala Khan. Emmy. Yeah. Oh, man. You've got the other Captain.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name. She played the In WandaVision, sorry. Yes, I was. Yes. We get to see her again. Mm-hmm. Another great actor. You get to see them all together. Oh,
it's going to be fun.
And it's all this, you know, I love women superheroes. They're some of my favorites.
Yeah.
I've always loved them. And I love to see that they're finally, Marvel starting to get more and more. And we love them. Come on, keep them coming.
It's a new day.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's not uncommon anymore to see
no.
that. I think that plenty of actresses, you know, showed this Gal Gadot with Wonder mm-hmm. Woman way back in the day, Linda Carter and all this.
Yes.
But I have to give credit to Brie Larson and what she's done with Captain Marvel,
yep.
and shattered the roof, shattered the roof with yep. this character.
Yep.
And John Wick Chapter 4 will also be coming out in 2023.
All right.
And of course, more director's cut. More director's cut, everybody. We're going to have plenty more.
Don't want to miss it.
We're going to be bringing on musicians. We're going to have the Lizards, Anna Makes Music,
yep.
Heartstrings, so many different bands we're going to have on. Yep. We're going to have a ton of different guests on, you know, actors, photographers, painters, mm-hmm. anything in the art world. We want to join us on this show.
Yep. Yep.
Along with that, having our regular segments, you know, Great Myth Takes, Take My Money, Please.
Yes, yeah. And that's going to wrap up the show, everybody. I hope you had a great time. Thanks so much for listening. For James Maloff, I am Seth Habiger. Join us again next week for another Director's Cut Sunday at 8 o'clock. Bye.
Happy New Year.